It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
Yes, it is that time for the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. We are here to talk daily fantasy sports with you, and we thank you so much. We know you've got a ton of different podcasts that you can download and listen to throughout the day. I mean, I love podcasting. It's like basically like cable TV. It's a la carte. You get to listen to what you want, when you want. And for daily fantasy players, really glad that you do check us out. And remember, if you want to find us over there on iTunes, easiest way to get this show each and every day. My name's Dan Bach. I go by DB730 all across the world of daily fantasy sports. And certainly appreciate you giving us a listen here today. On the show, not going to be an overly long show. You're probably saying, Dan, there's a nice schedule of games tonight. There is. But I wanted to bring on an interview. You know, we haven't had anybody on for a little while, but we always look to bring the top players on the show. And we're going to bring on Mr. Tuttle 05. And it's funny because every year I think we kind of see new players kind of rise up and, you know, maybe be, you know, smaller stature at some point in time. But once they get the bankroll going and they start having some success, and it seems like this year, Mr. Tuttle 05 is really that guy, especially on FanDuel. Boy, is he having a great season over there. A couple of DFBC seats. It's funny because I think a year ago, I would have said the guy who is this year's Mr. Tuttle 05 was Trent Steele. And if you weren't playing a year ago, then this is falling on deaf ears. But if you did play, this guy just had a monster season a year ago on FanDuel. Got to the DFBC finals as well. Didn't have the greatest of success that day, but definitely kind of built a name for himself. I've seen him out there a little bit, but not nearly as much. And, you know, that's the thing that I think is so amazing about guys like Napsterman, Head Chopper, is the fact that they've been able to sustain success. Because there have been guys who come and go in this game. I mean, there are guys who get hot, spend a lot of money all over the leaderboards, but then they go on a bad run and you never hear from them again. And that's kind of the nature of, you know, this sort of, you know, brand of fantasy sports. And it all comes down to, you know, the same, one of the main important things when, you know, there was online poker was bankroll management. And if you don't manage your bankroll well, then the bottom line is you could be one of those quote-unquote Devos or one-hit wonders. And I'm not calling out anybody named Devo. I was using the reference to the Whip It 80s band. But you know the point that I'm making. That, you know, if you do not manage that bankroll properly, everybody's going to go in slumps. Everybody. I don't care how good of a player you think you are. You will go through a prolonged slump. When I say prolonged, it might only be a week. But if you go a week where just things are not going your way, your bankroll can take a huge hit if you're playing too much of it on a given night. Now, I think that a lot of people have proven out, have shown that, you know, this is a skill game. The better players are going to, you know, rise to the top. But a lot of these better players know how to manage their bankroll. So that is very, very important. And believe me, it's a lot easier to manage your bankroll when you have a huge score like Napsterman's had, like Al Smizzle's had, like Head Chopper's had over the years. Believe me, it is a lot easier to manage that bankroll when you win 50K in a single day. But they still had to get to the point to doing that. I mean, a perfect example is, you know, Dinkpiece. You know, Drew Dinkmeyer's a guy who just kind of came out within the last month that, you know, he's going to kind of hang up the 9-to-5 job and kind of focus on daily fantasy sports. And here's a guy who I vividly remember several years ago starting out, and he was just playing the $5, $10 levels. That's it. You know, I remember seeing him there in the draft rate game lobbies all the time at the $5 and $10 levels and noticing that, you know, he was doing well. He was a good player. And now look at him. He's somebody who pretty much doesn't play anything less than $100, at least not very often. So That's kind of, you know, what you need to strive for is you need to start low, start building that bankroll up, and eventually, you know, you'll get to the point where you'll hit some big things and you'll be able to move up the ladder in terms of buy-ins, but don't rush yourself to do it. Because bankroll management is absolutely one of the most important things. And that's one of the things that Drew mentioned in his article that Cameron had with him was about, you know, the difficulties of turning pro. That's one of the things that I think a lot of people will have a problem with, because you got to have that financial security, because things will not always run great. But again, one big score goes a long way, and there is a lot of ways to get big scores all across daily fantasy sports, and especially this summer with baseball. And it's kind of scary to think what the NFL season is going to bring to the table, because when you consider this is an NFL season where DraftKings just raised $7 million in funding. This is a football season where FanDuel raised $12 million in funding. This is, you know, all these sites have just bumped up what their big championship events pay out. And it's just really amazing and exciting to think what's going to happen this fall. I just hope they don't neglect college football. Give me like a college football championship, please. I know I can do well in that one. See, this is where I come from. You know, a lot of people are, and believe me, NFL is a skilled game, very much so. But the reason I love college football so much is because there's so many less people who know it. The NFL, the crazy thing is with NFL football and all the information that's out there, and I'm talking ESPN, I'm talking Sports Illustrated, I'm talking FoxSports.com, all those information outlets provide fantasy information that is still relevant on a weekly basis. You know, every ranking system that you give, that you see on, you know, ESPN's, you know, Fantasy Insiders, it's talking about the rankings for that week. That is absolutely 100% relevant to daily fantasy sports. Now, obviously, with the salary cap games, there are different aspects that they do not approach. But for the most part, the information is so readily available. But I love college football because it's not, there is no season-long fantasy outlets out there, or at least not many for college football. So I think it's just going to be a growing sport. But boy, it's one that I just cannot wait till September gets here. You know, screw the summer. I know a lot of the people up north are like, we're ready for the summer. We've had nothing but snow and cold and ice. I mean, give me the summer already. Me, on the other hand, living in sunny Florida, I've had my fill of sun. Let's get to the fall already. Let's get some football action. Now, I love baseball, and I'm going to be taking a shot at all the stuff going on this summer long with these big championship events, but I just am so excited to get to football season. Boy, you know, nothing like bringing it up here in the middle of May. But that's just kind of a little rant I wanted to get on. But again, today we're going to kind of skip the game analysis. We'll have all that stuff for you tonight at Grinders Live, 5:30 to 6:30 Eastern. It is Soccer Dave Kitchen and myself. Now, Soccer Dave said he has a big announcement today, which is interesting because I'm hosting the show with him, and I have no idea what the big announcement is. So you guys are going to be as surprised as I am about this. But apparently it's coming today on the show. And, you know, people also, the other thing I want to address here quickly, people are interested in how to get involved in daily fantasy sports, whether it's in Roto Grinders or some other outlet. First off, if you want to get involved in Roto Grinders, number one, you need to take part in this blog program that we have. I mean, we pay money out every single month for people who write quality blogs. If you're new, you know, the best new blogger, I mean, there's a whole big area on our site talking about it. And you know what? That's the way I got started. That's the way Ethan got started. That's the way a lot of these people who are writing for us now get started. So if you have, you know, the dream of being able to write or talk or whatever about fantasy sports, start there. Come up with an innovative, different idea that hasn't been done before in terms of presenting either picks, information, strategy. Be creative. The more creative you are, the more attention you're going to get. So that's advice number one. Number two, you know, we are going to expand the Grinders Live platform here, hopefully relatively soon. And we're still always looking for people. So if you have a good idea for a show or you want to send me a sample, I certainly I'm always looking for good, talented people. So that's the best thing that I can tell you, because people are always interested in trying to get into this side of fantasy sports. And you know what? You'd be smart to do it. We're still new. We're still growing. And opportunities are just going to keep expanding. So, you know, those are a couple of ways to get involved here on Roto Grinders. So there you go. Just wanted to throw that out there. But right now we are going to talk to a man by the name of Mr. Tuttle 05. He is a two-time qualifier already on FanDuel, one of the best young new players in the industry. Let's get to it here on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Joining us today on the podcast, really excited to bring this guy on the show. I'm going to dub him one of the up-and-comers here in the world of daily fantasy sports. He's really bust out on the scene this baseball season and has already taken down not one, but two seats over there in the DFBC on FanDuel. And you got to love the name. It's Mr. Tuttle 05, and he joins us here on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. What's going on, Tuttle, my man? How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on the podcast.
No problem. Now, how does it feel to be labeled, you know, the top up-and-comer here in daily fantasy sports?
It feels good. It feels good. It's it put a lot of work into it, so it's nice to see something, you know, pay off.
Now, tell me a little bit about your history, because I know this isn't your first year playing. I remember seeing you in the past, but it certainly seems like you have picked up both, you know, your volume of play and obviously the success in the big guaranteed prize tournaments.
Yeah, I didn't really play a whole lot last year. Kind of dabbled here and there with baseball. And I kind of got the strategies down, I guess, a little bit more last year. And then this year was more so a good run at the end of the NBA season that kind of boosted my bankroll a little bit and let me play around a little more with baseball and start off the season hot and hoping to continue to do so.
You definitely have. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, there are GPP players, there are head-to-head players, and you kind of fall into both of those equations. I mean, would you, when you're creating your teams, I mean, do you definitely look at it differently in terms of entering one into, say, a DFBC qualifier as opposed to maybe a 535 head-to-head?
Oh, for sure, especially with the larger tournaments, the qualifiers. When I'm playing normal GPPs daily, I actually pretty much stick with one lineup. I kind of, I guess, shoot for my head-to-head lineups to be where they can also work as GPP lineups.
Now, how many lineups have you been thrown into these DFBCs? Because, you know, they've run in three of them a week, and it's pretty nice to be in the situation you are to have two of your seats out of the way so you don't have to funnel more money into this. I don't know if FanDuel likes that, but it's good for you. What was your strategy going into trying to, you know, capture those seats to go to Vegas?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the qualifiers go and the amount of, I guess, entries I've put into it, it's really varied quite a bit. I think the $25 one that I won, I think I had maybe seven or so entries in that one. And then the 109, I had 109 entries in it. I racked up a lot of FanDuel points, and I was saving them for the sole purpose of using them to enter that qualifier. So that paid off. And as far as strategy goes, just following last year more so than entering many of the tournaments, I knew that the more so only way to win was by stacking. I don't necessarily like that because I feel a lot more accomplished if, you know, I put together a solid lineup that wasn't a stack that won. Mm-hmm. But I'm not stupid either and know that that has been what's won in the past. So I kind of figured that this year it'd be similar. You know, they have that stacking rule they put into place, but figured the kind of mini stacks would be what would be taking down these qualifier tournaments.
Yeah, and they have to a point, but you know, I think we've both seen that it's really changed the way the game is played on FanDuel, and it seems like some of these changes might have actually benefited you a little bit more. Like you say, you know, you kind of find it to be maybe a tad bit more skillful to go the route of putting together lineups as opposed to just full team stacks. Because even the mini stacks, I've talked about on the show before. It's tough because you can only stack so many players from a team. You got to get the right players, and then you got to technically get them right on two separate teams. So I'll be kind of curious to see somebody goes through and sees how many of those double mini stacks actually win, because I'm not sure it's going to be that great a number.
Yeah, it's definitely not as guaranteed, I guess, if you want to call it that, as the full on stacks that they were going on last year. There's a little more skill to it for sure this year. And I wish one of my actual lineups were one of the ones that cashed me the qualifiers, but it didn't turn out that way.
So tell me about your play on a daily basis. Is it exclusively on FanDuel? And about how much are you putting out there, per day? Because like you say, it's really interesting to see how differently you go about playing once your kind of bankroll gets a nice little boost, like you said you saw at the end of basketball season. So what's a day in Mr. Tuttle 05's life of daily fantasy sports here?
Yeah, I'm playing mainly on FanDuel. I will give out a shout out to Peter. He got me over there on Star Street. And I've given that a run the last week or so, and I've been punting my second pitcher, and it's not working out too well. I had Ricky Romero over there tonight. So
it was one third of an inning, I'm sure, is not going to do the pitchers over there.
So I just stopped watching those games tonight and stopped following them. But, mainly just play on FanDuel. It'd be nice to spread out to some other sites, but got a full-time job besides this and really just don't have the time to put into creating a strategy for the differences between all the sites. So just been playing on FanDuel. The volume has been it's not consistent necessarily. You'll see players pop up here and there. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you play high level, some high stakes games. And, I think a lot of the people who don't play those are kind of curious in terms of what type of results you see in those compared to, say, the $25 levels. I've always felt personally, now I've never played 535s, don't get me wrong, but I've always felt the toughest price point is probably the $25 buy-ins. That could be totally off base, but from your experiences, where do you find, the toughest competition?
I'd say you're pretty accurate. It actually almost, because of my background, I've never really always had this bankroll to work with. So I was a smaller player to start out with. It almost, it pisses me off a little bit and angers me a little bit when I'm playing these 535s and I'm seeing guys that are playing guys in postponed games and playing guys that aren't starting. It makes me mad. It's like, who has $535 just to throw away like that? So you see that at both levels. You see that at low stakes and high stakes.
See, that's amazing. See, that's what I try to tell people is just because it's higher stakes doesn't mean it's always better players. Now, I think it is to a point, but that was certainly one of the experiences I had when I was playing some of the higher stakes college football games out there. But that's really interesting. Now, tell me a little bit about your background. Like you say, you don't do this full time. What do you do full time?
Yeah, I'm recently a college grad. 1.5 credits remaining before I get my master's degree. Recently married, so kind of just get my feet in the working world. I work as a claims representative is what I currently do now. Don't see myself doing that for that much longer, but it's a starting job for sure.
Now, you're going to have two entries for a shot at $200,000. I got a hunch, just a hunch, you're not going to pull that much in being a claims rep right now. So you can certainly, get yourself a couple years worth of salary on that one day of playing daily fantasy sports. Have you put in a whole lot of thought about this? Has it kind of dawned on you what you're going to be encountering? Because, I kind of felt it for the basketball championship, and that was only $50,000. I mean, $200K and having two shots at it. I mean, boy, that's a hell of a position to be in.
Yeah, it is for sure. It's a lot of money, obviously. I'm trying to, I don't know how well this will last. I'm trying to kind of implement the strategy of really not overthinking. Even when I just play.
You will. Don't.
I know I will. Even when I'm just throwing out my games nightly, it's something that I have to keep close eye on. It's just not overthinking, because that's really just the downfall. So what I'm trying to do is trying not to look ahead at all, and I'm honestly just going to try to, as of now, I'm just going to try to treat it as another day. And that's really just starts with studying the day before and figuring everything out that day before.
You know, here's the thing. As somebody who's experienced this time and time again, it's like the freaking Super Bowl. It's not like any other day. You know, when guys go to the Super Bowl, what do they have to do at the Super Bowl? They got Super Bowl parties. They got family they got to deal with. They've got all sorts of distractions. So I'm just telling you. It's not like any other day. So what's the plan out there? Have you talked to your wife about it? Is she gonna go along with you, or are you gonna bring buddies? What's the plan?
The wife's coming along to keep me in line. make sure I don't gamble all my winnings away once at least the $2,500 I told her I have to throw down at some point in time.
Oh yeah, no doubt. And hey, you win $200,000, you better have a good night out. You know?
No, for sure. We'll throw some future bets down just to make them last a while longer and give me a reason to go back out there if I ever need to.
We're talking with Mr. Tuttle 05, and that brings me to my next question. Where did the screen name come from that made you suddenly decide to go with the driver's ed coach from Saved by the Bell, of all things?
I guess in high school. Which is a ways back now, but high school, we always thought Saved by the Bell was hilarious. Kind of started as a joke, and it really still is a joke of the show, but kind of had a randomly weird obsession with Saved by the Bell, and I actually have some DVD sets. I don't know if I should be announcing that aloud, but I do have Saved by the Bell on DVD.
Now, how old are you? Because, see, Saved by the Bell is in my wheelhouse. I'm like, you know, low 30s, mid 30s. So, like, when I was like a teenager, you know, not even a teenager, when I was like in maybe middle school, it started coming up and I'd watch it like the first run. Are you a fan of just like watching it in reruns and stuff like that?
Yeah, mainly. I'm 25, so I wasn't catching all the new fresh episodes. But, yes, yeah, so a lot of the reruns. I will put on record that the college years is absolutely horrible.
Okay.
So I don't want to associate myself with that in any way, shape, or form.
Well, Mr. Tuttle didn't make the college years, so yes. You know, don't feel bad about that.
Thankfully.
You know, I could go on probably epic Saved by the Bell rants for the, the next 2 hours here. I don't know if the listeners would appreciate it, but I will ask you this. What is your favorite Saved by the Bell episode? Because we all have – you know, one or two episodes that kind of stand out.
The one that stands out the most would definitely be the when Jesse gets hooked on the caffeine pills.
Yeah.
And that's one of the best ones.
I mean,
I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
Yes, that, you know, no wonder she got such a great acting gig in like Showgirls after that performance.
That's still there right there.
It did. I'm a little bit impartial to the episode when Zach decided to he put the message in the song. Remember, it was like the Lonely Hearts Dance or something. They had to put the heart around people. And he put the message in the bow something. I can't remember the song, the name of the singer at the time. But he put it in the song, and then, of course, they played the prank on him. They found out everybody in the school apparently heard the song played over the monitor. And then A.C. Slater said, back off. He's going to the dance with me. That was probably about my top 10 moments over there on stage.
That was solid. The subliminal messaging.
Subliminal message. That's exactly what it was. Yes. Yeah. Boy, what a top notch show. But that's great. And we do need to, you know, let the record know because or let the record show that, that you're not the other Tuttle who's kind of made waves in daily fantasy sports in the past because you often get confused by that guy, correct?
For sure, yeah. When I first started out on FanDuel, everybody thought I was the other Tuttle, and I'd like to state that I am not in any way, shape, or form.
Were you wondering, like, why does everybody hate me? Like,
I was like, it felt like it was a tough crowd or something. I don't know. I'd just show up and chat, and it was brutal.
Now, speaking of chat, I've noticed you've made it over to the Grinders live chat quite a bit, kind of seem like, you know, you've made a little bit of, I don't say your home, but, you know, it seems like you've checked in a little bit at nighttime when games are going. You've kind of been enjoying the company over there?
Yeah, it's always fun to watch, you know, games with other people that are playing. And the last two nights, it's been cool to get the Grinders Live FanDuel lobby going with the 20-player tournaments because it's always cool to see other people's thoughts on the games and see, you know, who they decided to go with in their lineups.
Yeah, that is actually a good tool to look at, you know, in terms of, you know, I've always talked about the best way for new players to learn is to see what the good players are doing with their lineups and kind of examine their train of thought. So, the last couple of days we put together a few 20-man contests and you got some pretty nice names in there. And I'm doing pretty well today. Just want to let you know. So we'll see.
I didn't check. Where are you at right now?
I was near the top, you know, Johnny Gomes, my wife's favorite player, had a pretty good night tonight. I'm sitting seventh right now, but I still got, Clayton Kershaw to go. So we'll see what happens. But
yeah, I'm on the Kershaw bandwagon with you tonight, too. So hopefully.
Yeah, he took
it up a little bit.
Of course, you know, Mr. Tuttle took it down the other night too. So, like he needs this $45, but nonetheless, it's good to have him aboard and doing some stuff here on Roto Grinders, getting involved. But hey, I want to thank you so much for your time tonight. And no pressure in terms of the big final in Vegas in a few months. It's going to be a blast. Just think of it this way, you know, $200,000 is great. But you're going to walk away with not one check, but two checks out there. That's a pretty envious situation. A lot of
us. There you go. Good way to look at it.
Hey, certainly appreciate your time tonight, and we'll talk to you again out in Vegas.
Sounds good.
So that is going to do it for us today. We will return to the podcast same time, same place tomorrow. We'll give you a good preview of all the big games coming up on Friday night. Remember, tonight, 5:30 to 6:30, catch us on Grinders Live. Also, we've got a Twitter feed. It is at RotoGrinders. Ask us any questions you may have. And on iTunes, please subscribe to this podcast, and you'll get it each and every day. Till tomorrow, everyone, have yourself a terrific Thursday night, and we will see you.